This 13th lesson, the theme is an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ. We talk about that much in this church, quite frankly. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for doing that. And about being an ambassador, it's not something that is overlooked. It is mentioned often in a year's time. And it's mentioned because it's mentioned in the Bible. And it's what we are as Christians. And so we'll talk about that tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 14, please. I'll read. You just follow along. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's a great, powerful statement right there. That if you claim to be a Christian tonight, you are not to live your life for yourself. And neither am I. But who am I to live it for? But unto him which died for them and rose again. Anybody remember who that is? Right? Yeah. So we call ourselves Christians. Christians. That's followers of Christ. That means I don't follow my own will. I follow his will. We'll talk more about that. Down to verse 20, please. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is someone who represents his leader in a foreign land. As a Christian tonight, you are not primarily a citizen of Canada. You are a citizen of heaven. You are on foreign soil. This world is not our home. We are living in a foreign land, and it seems more foreign as the days go by, quite frankly. But I'm glad that this is not our final place. So let's look at several things about being an ambassador for Christ. Number one, the ambassador's access. The ambassador's access. Letter A, the ambassador's access. The ambassador has authorized access. What a great statement. The ambassador of a country has high priority access to information and people because he is authorized. We can take this concept accurately into our own walk with God and apply as being God's ambassadors. We have been chosen by God and appointed by God, who is our leader, by the way. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty, and we are representing him here. He said in John 20:21, Jesus did, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." An ambassador, right? Just like 2 Corinthians 5:20. We have been sent by the Lord to represent him. John 15:16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth," what? Fruit. That's part of the responsibility of being an ambassador, to be a fruit bearer, right? Somebody brought me some fruit earlier today. That's nice to have fresh fruit, right? And that's what we're supposed to be doing as God's children, bearing fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Access. Praise God, we have this access. We have been called upon to convey special messages. The special message we have is 66 books long. We may not convey it all at one time. Maybe pieces and parts, right, at a time. We don't want to overload, but this is the message that we are to convey to the people that God brings across our path. We are commissioned to carry his message to the people of the world. Paul said it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:11, "The glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Committed to my trust. Committed to your trust. God said, "Here, I'm saving you. You're an ambassador. I'm trusting you that you will take this message and you will deliver this message to the people of the land that you're living in." And praise God, we have freedom to do that here. There are places in our world tonight where people have to be very, very careful of how they deliver the message, because they could be arrested, they could be jailed, they could be killed for delivering this message. Letter B, we have available access. Available access. At almost any time, the ambassador of a country can request a meeting with his leader and receive high priority. The ambassador and the leader of the country should always be available to speak to and with one another. Tonight, as a Christian, you have access to the king anytime you want. It is not in your name, it's not in my name, it's in the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to the Father through the Son. What a blessing. And when we talk to God, there's no busy signals. There's no voicemail that comes on. He's always available for you and for me as his children. And he even tells us, I want you to come to me anytime you want. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So we don't have to stop going to our king, if you will, as his ambassador. He wants us to come, and he wants us to come regularly. Go to your Bible, go in your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. An ambassador for Christ has access. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's talking about the Lord Jesus, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, here's another one of these salad verses in the Bible. There's lots of them. Lots of good vegetables and salads in the Bible. Let us, okay? Let us, are you awake? Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Constant access to the throne of grace is available. And we need this access because we need God's grace for the work. We cannot go to the work without first going to the Father. If you don't labor in the word and labor in prayer, you're not going to labor long in the field. Okay? So this is why we have this access. This access isn't here just for 911 moments. No, I'm glad it's there for 911 moments. When we have an emergency in our life, God's there for us. But that ought not be the only time we go to God, is when everything's falling apart. You know, we ought to go to God when everything's together and say, God, thank you that it's together. God, thank you for the health that I have today, this measure of strength that I have today. But we have this amazing access to God. So first is the access of the ambassador. Then, secondly, is the ambassador's adversary. The ambassador's adversary. There are adversities when you're an ambassador. There could be maybe a language barrier that you have to work through, or an interpreter that you have to work through. There's adversities. There's a new culture wherever you're going, quite possibly. There's obviously, as we heard earlier tonight, there's different food, and that's not necessarily for me, it would not be an adversity in most places in the world. But anyway, and for some people, it would be a problem. That's a problem. That's a challenge. In more serious note, there's hostile countries where people are ambassadors, and they are not just worried about food, and they're not just concerned about culture. They're concerned about possibly assassination attempts. And so it's very serious in that case for the ambassador. Well, the ambassador for Christ is no different. We also have an adversary. Letter A is the adversary's attack. The adversary's attack. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, there's our adversary, there's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is compared to a roaring lion, a man-eater, looking for prey. You are and I am his target. We are in the crosshairs, if you will, of the lion. And he's wanting to devour you and he's wanting to devour me. Now, praise God, as a Christian, my soul is secure. I was reading earlier today in John chapter 10 where it talks about our we are in the hand of the Father, or we're in the hand of the Son, and then in the hand of the Father, and no man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. So we know that the Bible is very clear about that. So the devil cannot do that, but he wants to ruin my life. He wants to ruin your life. What is one of the things he's wanting to ruin? He's wanting to ruin your testimony. As an ambassador for Christ, he's wanting to ruin your testimony. He's wanting to ruin your influence. My influence, my testimony. Our testimonies, our influence. And he does that in numerous ways. He does that by his own way. He does it through the world. He does it through my own flesh and your own flesh. You know, I think the devil has a plan for everybody in this room here tonight, a specific plan for you that's not for me, and one for me that's not for you, because he knows what button to hit. He knows what to do in my life and your life. But the whole point is he hates God, right? And so because he hates God, he wants you and me to give God a bad name. And when we do that, the devil is very happy about that. When our testimony is affected, the devil's very happy about that. He wants to ruin my effectiveness for the Lord. He wants me to be conformed not to Christ, but to the world. The world is not getting any better. Okay? You're not going to reform the world. It's not going to happen. Christ has to come into someone's life before they're going to be different. That's the only way it's going to happen. But even after we get saved, we still have to make a choice on a regular basis. Who am I conforming to? Who am I wrapping my life around? Is it around Christ or is it around the world? And Satan is trying to get us to conform to the world. Our first duty as an ambassador for Christ is to seek the lost and offer them the gift of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. We must stay on purpose. We must not get distracted. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you take those three things and you go right back to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 2, 3, when Eve fell and Adam fell. Those things are right there as well. It's the devil's game plan hasn't changed since the beginning of creation until now. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. I'm only going to accurately be the ambassador that God wants me to be when I display his holiness and his love in this foreign land that I live in. God's holiness. Are we ever going to be holy like God? No. But we want to display as close as we can. We want to display that holiness. Not holier than thou, but we also display God's love. Both of those things. You cannot kick one out and keep one. We can't say, well, I'm holy, but have no love. That's not going to work. But we also can't say, well, I love, but I live like the world. No. Neither one of those examples are pleasing to God. We need to ask God. We need grace. We need to ask God, I want to be holy and I want to love. Both, right? And that would please God. Letter B, thank God we have the ambassador's defense. Can you and I fight a powerful enemy like Satan? What is our defense against this devil, this Lucifer, this lion? Turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. If you haven't memorized these verses yet, memorize them. Hide these verses in your heart. You're going to need them regularly. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Roman Christians, I beseech you, therefore, he says, I'm begging you. I'm imploring you. Listen, he says, I'm begging you. And I would say tonight, I'm no Paul, but I'm saying tonight, through the words of the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote, this is something that you and I need in 2026. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Again, it's what we talked about earlier. I've got to die to what I want, or I will conform to the world. I must die to what I want. Holy, acceptable unto God, not acceptable unto my friends, not acceptable unto me. It says acceptable unto God. God has a very high standard. What is God's standard? Holiness. Righteous living. So that's my goal. To be holy. To do right. The Bible says, I think it's in Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is God's standard. And I know that in 2026, even in church, in churches, that not this one, thank the Lord, but to talk about living holy is kind of that's kind of old-fashioned. That's what they talked about in the 50s and the 60s. No, we're talking about it in the 26s, the 2026s, 1926. Yeah, that's when they were talking about it for sure. No, we need holy living now. Why? Because it's acceptable unto God. Who are we living for as an ambassador? God, he's our king. He's given us a great task to represent him. And be not conformed, verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you present your body, when I present my body as a living sacrifice, it means surrendering my will to God's. It means giving up my ownership and directorship to him. He is my boss, if you will. He calls the shots. And Paul said, this is just my reasonable service. I mean, it's only reasonable. We just talked about the cross. We talk about it regularly. It's only reasonable that we live for God. Ambassadors always seek to fulfill the leader's desire. Here's a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I shared this verse with somebody earlier this week. And it's another verse that you're going to want to mark, highlight it, and memorize it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. We will, as ambassadors for Christ, we're going to need to do this regularly. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Imaginations. Is that really real, what you're thinking about? Is it really real? A lot of times we're thinking about something later on, we don't even know if it's going to happen. Then that's an imagination. I have to cast that down because that's taking over my thought process. I can't be the ambassador that God wants me to be when I'm thinking about things that aren't even true. We're all guilty of it. And bringing into captivity every thought. Okay, I got a thought that just came in. I'm going to bring that thing in. Is this what I should be thinking about? And if not, okay, God, you got help me get rid of this thought. Philippians, go to Philippians 4:8, read that over and over and over and over again. And Paul says, here's what you think about. And maybe if it doesn't check with that, then it's got to go. Captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the ambassador's access. Boy, be thankful tonight that we have access to the King. Be thankful tonight that we have unhindered access. Now, sin will hinder our access. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Maybe tonight there's something in your heart, something in our hearts needs to be dealt with. Deal with it. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's just me that gets in the way. God's saying, hey, come. Come boldly. So we have access. We do have an enemy, but thank God, letter 3, we also see the ambassador's assignment. The assignment. We are representing God here in this world. That is our representation, but our mission is the Great Commission. This is our mission, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. Let's take a look at this, if we will. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I believe that is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. We've got to be preaching the gospel, but that's only part of it. When someone gets saved, we see baptizing them. That's the second part. Baptizing them. The Great Commission is not just preaching the gospel. But also the Great Commission is not just preaching the gospel and baptizing them. Notice verse 20. This is discipleship. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What's He commanded us? The Word of God. So the Great Commission, our mission as ambassadors is, yes, go to the SkyTrain. Take gospel tracts with us when we go, everywhere we go. Hand them out. Deliver them in mailboxes. Give them to people at the stores. Preach the gospel on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People getting saved. Yes, people getting baptized. We want to teach them. This is why you get baptized. This is the purpose of it. This is why. This is the picture that it's representing. Death, burial, and resurrection. And then discipleship. The continued discipleship. Other discipleship methods. Getting in the Word of God, learning the doctrine of the Word of God, learning the fundamentals of the faith of the Word of God. This is so vital. Why? Because there's a lot of ambassadors out there that have stopped being an ambassador because they got distracted. They're an ambassador still, a name only. They're not fulfilling what they were called to do as an ambassador. But you know what? Just so easy, I could do the same thing. This is why every day we've got to get in our Bible, because as an ambassador, I need to know what my King says. Not just for me, but so I can take it and I can tell somebody else what my King says as an ambassador. The ambassador's assignment. Letter A, the first step of the assignment is go. Go, therefore. Right? That's what the first part of it is. Why did Christ instruct us to go into all the world with the gospel? Because He has all the power and He goes with us. Okay, imagine yourself tonight. You're sitting at home. And the power is in the gospel, yes. But the power, according to what we just read, is when we go. So if I'm just sitting at home and I'm never going with the gospel, then the power of God is... it's not working like it's supposed to. But when I go, God promises, I'll go with you. And I'll have my power available for you. When we go, this is not a gift, by the way. This is not one of the spiritual gifts. This is a command. This is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. In some way, every believer should be involved in the Great Commission. I love this verse from Proverbs. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Be involved as an ambassador. Proverbs 25. Thank the Lord we're past this season. As cold waters. No, that's not the right one. Not 25, 25, 25, 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. Maybe circle those two words. Faithful messenger. God, help me to be a faithful messenger. Ambassador. What is this faithful messenger bringing? To them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Notice this. So is a faithful messenger to them that send him. Who sent us? God, the King of Kings. Again, we're not a faithful messenger even of the church. Praise God for the church. Right? But it's not even of the church. It's of God. It's not of the pastor. It's of God. We are a faithful messenger of God. And so the question is, can God trust me to carry this message faithfully? Can God trust us as a church to take this message and be an ambassador for him? Can he trust us? I trust he can. I hope he can. Go, therefore. Then, letter B, go preach. Go preach. Go ye into all the world and preach, Mark said, to every creature, the gospel to every creature. In other words, yes, going is one thing, but have the gospel message with us at all times. Let's read what Paul wrote about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. And these are things that you ought to know and I ought to know just like breathing. To be honest with you, as a believer, you don't think about breathing, right? Has anybody thought about it today? Okay, you thought about it a few times? Okay, I'll be nice. He is a little pain tonight. Pray for our dear brother down here. Okay, so other than Colton, no one's thought about, don't make him laugh. That's the worst part. Anyway, okay. We don't think about it. We just do it. Same thing with some of these things in the Bible and more of them as we grow in Christ, not because we're somebody, but because this message is something. It's life-changing. So we ought to know the gospel like breathing. Here's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Step 1. Christ died for our sins. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Why do we know Christ died for our sins? Paul said it. According to the what? Scriptures. I believe Christ died for my sins because the Bible says so. Secondly, and that he was buried. This is part number 2 of the gospel. Buried. Third, and that he rose again the third day, again, according to the scriptures. So know this. Know the gospel. What does it mean? What are the 3 parts to the gospel? What is the significance of this? And be aware of these things and be able to show somebody. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read to you what exactly I'm talking about when I say the gospel has changed my life. Because the gospel is powerful. It's not my words. It's not Brother Caesar's words. This is the word of God. It's life-changing. It's powerful. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 6:16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Powerful. Man's fellowship with God was broken by sin. We needed to be reconciled. We saw that word earlier. The ministry of reconciliation. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're in chapter 15. Turn back to chapter 5, just a few pages back. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Oh, we were in 1 Corinthians, sorry. So ahead. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 5. Back to where we started. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. This word reconciled means to reestablish a close relationship between two parties. When Adam and Eve were created, they were very close to God. Remember? Walking and talking to God every day through the garden. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, except for, you know, we can do it now. But you know what I'm saying? When sin occurred, that fellowship was broken. They realized we've just broken God's law. They went and they hid themselves. What caused them to hid themselves? Well, they were guilty. They knew they were guilty. So sin does that. And sin is broken that closeness with God. But praise God for his love, for his creation, you and me, that Jesus was allowed to come and restore that fellowship as our great high priest. It was a very costly forgiveness. This is the reconciling that we're talking about, that Paul is talking about here. So it is open. This reconciliation is open, but it must be received. So we have the ambassador's access. Again, praise God we have this. We have an enemy, but praise God we have the ability to overcome the enemy in the power of the Word of God. We have an assignment. Our assignment is very clear. Go and preach the gospel. Then we have, number four, the ambassador's address. Where does an ambassador officially live? Well, the ambassador's real home is in his native country. His stay in the foreign country is only temporary. Letter A, his temporary address is earth. I guess that's you and me, right? We're down here on earth. We are placed here to serve as ambassadors. This is a temporary residence for you and for me. We are a vapor that appear for a little while, a little time, and then we vanish away, and we vanish away into heaven. But our life is short. Our ambassadorship, if you will, is not very long. But our home, prior to going to heaven, God would like and desire that to be, serve as an embassy of heaven. Let's go to Ephesians 5. God designed the marriage relationship to be a picture of Christ's relationship to the church. The wife is to picture the submission that we give to Christ, and the husband is to picture the love that Christ gives to us. Paul makes this clear in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Again, these are also very important. It's not like, I'm not trying to say there's more important, but this is very important to know what the Bible says. Not what does the pundits say, or the YouTubers say, or the Twitter world say, or the Facebook world say, or whoever say, even some churches say. What does God's Word say? Right? God's Word should be my final authority for faith and practice. The Word of God. Paul said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And if you're a wife here tonight, notice who you're submitting really to. As unto who? The Lord. You're submitting to your husband, but it's, in a sense, it's really submitting as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. This is a position, by the way. This is not a domineering individual. Okay? This is a position of leadership that God has placed, and we need more godly leaders in our homes. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. How should that look, husbands? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is my home an embassy of heaven tonight? Pastor Sexton used to say that the Christian home is not Christian because people live in it that are saved. That's not what makes a Christian home just a Christian home. What makes a Christian home is established when Christians living in the home follow the biblical principles laid out in the Word of God. And part of that principle that we look at here tonight is we as husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That means sometimes that the church doesn't always deserve the love of Christ, but guess what? Christ loves the church. And therefore, you and I, as men, need to lead the way in this and loving our wives. This is not a marriage seminar tonight, any stretch of the imagination. But it's saying that we need to have, as ambassadors, we need to be striving and praying that our home, even though it's temporary, it's a home that honors God. Honors God. Letter B. So our temporary address is earth, but our permanent address is heaven. Hallelujah. We are to look to heaven as our real home. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. The admonition of Christ here. Oh, if we could get every born-again believer to adhere to what we're about to read. If I could live my life always by what I'm about to read. It would revolutionize our churches. It would revolutionize the ambassadors for Christ. Look what he says in Matthew 6, please. Verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Too many of God's ambassadors are laying up treasure in the wrong place. They're collecting all the toys that are going to rust. They're collecting all the things that are going to end up in Value Village. They're collecting all the things that have no eternal value. That's not why God called me to be an ambassador. It's okay to have nice things. I'm not saying it's wrong to have nice things. But if that is what motivates me, then I'm distracted. I'm distracted. Jesus said, don't lay up treasure here. He says, look what he says, verse 20, but lay up treasure. Oh, also, where thieves break through and steal. Okay? Anyway, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I guess then we can be assured tonight there are no moths in heaven. Hallelujah, there's no moths in heaven, you know. I don't know if you're going to have a closet there or what, you know. I got married, no, I got, you know, 13 white robes that I'm going to wear. No, I don't know if we're wearing white robes. Anyway, but no moths. And there's no rust for the chariots. Hallelujah. You know, man, there's no salt in heaven, that means. You know, otherwise there'd be rust on those chariots driving around the street of gold, you know. No rust and no dust maybe as well, right? There's no thieves. Send as much treasure ahead, Jesus says. But then he also reveals something, doesn't he? So revealing. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Too many ambassadors, their heart is right here. It's right here on earth. No. We need our heart to be in heaven. Okay? Heart. What is a heart? We're not talking about the boom, 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 not that thing. But what motivates you? What drives you? It ought to be heavenly things, eternal things, things that honor God, things that please God. That doesn't mean life has to be boring. Believe me, I think the Christian life is the most exciting life ever. There's fun, there's laughter, there's excitement, laughing at one another, laughing at ourselves. It's okay to laugh. We don't have to walk around with a straight face for, you know, 24/7. So don't say it's boring. But when your heart is here, you're distracted. And you're not going to be the ambassador that God saved you to be. And by the way, chasing the next thing, that gets boring. chasing the next thrill, chasing the next this or the next that. No, 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 no. Take my heart, take your heart, and put it up where things don't corrupt and don't steal. Wow, there's nothing better than living for God. Paul encouraged us to look ahead to our real home. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Even if there's affliction in our life, even if there's challenges in our life, Paul says, in relation to the eternal weight of glory, it is light. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Cancer's temporal. I've had it twice. I'm glad it's temporal. Even if it takes my life one day, it's temporal. And it's light. Because the glory that God can get from our lives, whatever the difficulty is, I just picked that one, but whatever the difficulty is, it's still light in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that we can give God. For the things which are seen are temporal, hallelujah, but the things which are not seen are eternal, amen. And then verse 1 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." How many of you know you're dissolving a little bit? Okay, all right. Okay, I know I'm dissolving because I'm shorter than I used to be. Anybody else shorter than they used to be? I'm not looking over here, Brother Caesar. Love you, brother. You know, dissolving. You know, this tabernacle's dissolving. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. What are we groaning in? This earthly tabernacle. We groan. Oh, sometimes it's physical groaning. Sometimes it's emotional groaning. Sometimes we groan for other people. Paul said we groan. But what is our desire while we're groaning? Here's what he says. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Oh God, one day I know I'm going to leave this, I'm going to drop this robe of flesh, the songwriter said, and I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize. And while I'm passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You know, I won't have to pray anymore when I'm in heaven because I'll be in the presence of God. He's right there. It's not the same. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Not really the promised land, but that's okay. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Story is told of a missionary couple who spent 50 years serving on the field. And they were on a ship. You know, this was many years ago because they were on a ship. Now we're on planes. And they were coming home. They were porting in the harbor of New York. They could see off in the distance there were a lot of people there on the dock. And then as they got closer, they saw banners and they saw even a band was there. They saw some trumpets and some trombones and some whatever the instruments were there. The missionary saw all these people and they thought, wow, they've come to welcome us home. But as the missionaries got off the boat, they realized that none of these people were there to see them. There was someone else on the ship they had come to see. They were a little bit disheartened. But Mrs. Missionary, you know, the ladies are so wise. She took her husband's arm and said, "Honey, we're not home yet. Honey, we're not home yet." Tonight, church, I'm not going to call you honey, but we're not home yet. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. I hope that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon you and me from heaven's open door, shore, whichever word. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. May you and I faithfully serve our King as an ambassador of heaven. Are we representing him well? Are we being a faithful ambassador? Let's pray together.